This is the 20th season of Bass Talk Live. BTL is presented by Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFTCO, Pro Guide Batteries, Spro, Gamakatsu, The Bass Tank, Denali Rods, Beatdown Outdoors, and Sunline.
BTL coming at you.
Good afternoon and welcome to a special edition, noon edition on a Tuesday. It's BTL. We've been out of studio for about a week. We did have an Uncle Frank show last Thursday, but I was planning on doing a little bit of on-location stuff. I actually have some on-location equipment now at the open last week on Logan Martin, but did not have the cell service technology to do that. And then I jumped on a plane on Friday after 123rd place finish in the open, went to the Dick Hiley St. Jude Bass Classic, the 26th annual. You guys know that I've been talking about that for a long time. So many of you have been tagging, talking, emailing, messaging me that your St. Jude and BTL shirts have come in. You guys really showed out. The BTL family, super proud of what you guys did. Over $4,500 in t-shirt sales. Also a big shout out to ATS Printing for really cutting down the production costs of those so we could maximize the donations to St. Jude directly. Like 70 plus teams showed up. I rolled in on Saturday morning. I got in from the open on a red eye at like 3 a.m., put a couple reels on rods. Adam Bartuzek, my partner, who'd been practicing for 4 days, picked me up. We jumped on the lake, and literally 24 hours later from the day two of the open, I was fishing the St. Jude, boxed 14 quick, had 21 and a half the first day, went out the second day at 21 and a half. Somehow we won the thing and got a $25,000. It was just one of those weekends. Every once in a while you have one of those weekends where it really highlights the roller coaster that is tournament fishing. And you go literally from why the heck am I doing this and putting myself through this to, oh, that's why it all makes sense. And I had one of those weekends. Big part the team captain and team partner. Like I said, I just showed up and caught fish. He's the one who found them all, which was Adam Bartuzek. We got a good show today. We're going to bring Adam in. There's Adam right there. Then we're going to bring Miles in here in a couple minutes. Miles Berghoff, who we've had on, who've talked about this. He actually got back on the water. We actually saw him. We actually saw him catch a couple 4-pounders on day one of the tournament. He was in the thing after day one. Talk about getting his competitive juices flowing again, what it was like for him to attend the first year of the event. I don't think he's going to miss another one if it's all within his power. And then we'll bring Gretchen Simon in, who kind of leads the thing for St. Jude and the Dick Hiley St. Jude Bass Classic, to talk a little bit about it. And then we'll put a bow on the thing until next year. So Adam, thanks for jumping on. I know you got to be tired. Dude, that was a heck of a weekend, man. A heck of a weekend.
Yeah, crazy weekend. Can't really believe it. It kind of set in a little bit more yesterday, but yeah, I mean, crazy weekend, crazy past week. Just the way everything unfolded. I mean, it was just nuts. Me and Noah Schultz were chatting this morning, actually. And I was just like, the weirdest thing was like when you and I left our last spot, we did not think we had won. Like we were just coming in happy, being like top five, fun weekend. Super pump. We have, you know, helped fundraise $850,000 with all the other anglers. And then slowly as the weigh-in went on, it kind of just became real, which, yeah, was nuts.
It really did. Over 850, I think $852,000 was a total that was raised. But you've kind of impressed on me in that area, and I know we've had some Minnesota shows in the past, but when it comes up to Minnesota, there's kind of four or five kind of signature series events in the state that everybody looks forward to each year. What are those? I know the St. Jude's one of them. I think the Blackfish is one of them. What are the kind of the main, what you would call signature series derbies?
Yeah, I would say probably like the signature big events everyone talks about in the upper Midwest would probably be like your Sturgeon Bay Opens. There's a couple different Sturgeon Bay events, but the Sturgeon Bay Open that's kicking off here soon. The St. Jude, the Blackfish, which is on Lake Minnetonka. You have the Minnetonka Classic, which is on Lake Minnetonka. And then basically, I mean, it's a team or it's a championship, but the Champions Tour Championship is kind of it now, too. To be honest, I could be forgetting something, but those are kind of them, in my opinion, for big one-off events. I know there's a few other ones that are kind of newer and coming up, but those are the ones that have been around for a while now, and kind of everybody gets there.
It is. Here's what I want to do. I want to bring Miles in, and I know Miles has some appointments this afternoon. He's already back in Memphis with his family, actually at St. Jude. And then maybe there's a little bit of education here from the fishing standpoint of it. That's a gnarly section of river that we just competed on pools 4 and 5, and there's some really cool things that went down. And then Gretchen, who runs the tournament, kind of in charge of a lot, she's going to jump on in the second half of the show. So let's bring Miles Berghoff in. There's Miles. Miles, that had to feel good to get on the water in a tournament setting for the first time in a couple months with everything going well with Riley and the family at St. Jude, and make a couple casts and get the adrenaline flowing.
It felt really good because I was going up there. I was like, you know, I'm only going to get a half day of practice. I didn't even get a half day of practice because of the fog that Friday, but I was just treating it as just fun. You know, I didn't care how I did, but as soon as I got on the water, I got to tell you, man, that werewolf came out in me, and I just wanted to compete. So it felt really good. And in fact, I was surprised at how quickly I kind of slid into, you know, tournament mode overall, but it was a lot of fun, man. It really was kind of a gift to get out there and compete.
Your first year at the event, experiencing it in person, just talk about as a whole from the time you get there and practice on Friday and registration to the time you make that last cast and the weigh in on Sunday. And obviously you have a unique experience with Riley being at St. Jude now, mm-hmm. but just kind of talk about the tournament experience from a whole to try to maybe put into words what everyone who's there actually feels.
Yeah. So when I first got there, it was more so like tournament mode. Like I wanted to get out there and go fish. I was thinking about like what I was going to do and that sort of thing. And then very quickly, we had a little get together that Friday night with some of the guys and of course the ladies there at St. Jude. And so that was really cool. I hadn't had that camaraderie, that time to hang out with people since this all happened. And then, you know, things just really started transitioning from the focus being the fishing to just this whole other animal of what this event is really all about. And it's, you know, the fishing is great. The tournament aspect of it is great. They run a just absolutely killer tournament, but it really is a completely different thing when you're in it. You know, you had that dinner the first night. Okay. I guess that was
Friday the night, like the registration dinner
Friday. Yeah. Okay. So I had to get together on Thursday, dinner registration. And that's when things really started changing. And then of course you had the banquet, you know, so you had little bits of like tournament fishing, but then you had this broader scope of like, you know, great camaraderie and all these people that you instantly, it felt to me like one big giant bass club. You know how bass clubs, when I was back in California and like the Chico and Paradise bass clubs, you know, you had that group of anglers that really were kind of a tight knit community, and they did great things for, you know, different types of, you know, charities and things like that. But that's what it felt like, was one big giant bass club. And I instantly made a bunch of friends there, and you could just feel that everybody was there, not for a tournament, but for a greater cause, which is St. Jude's Research Children's Hospital or Children's Research Hospital. But it was really cool to see that. But I will say, man, from the tournament aspect, they run a really good tournament, really fun, had lots of food in the morning. Those biscuits were mint. They were
the Heidi's stuff,
and the Dude, those raspberry flips, I think they call them, those pastries that they had. Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh. My partner, Scott, was trying to, like, ferret away a bunch of those things. But, and then that barbecue at the on the final day was legit. So yeah. it was like, to me, the perfect event. I'm not even going to call it a tournament. It's a perfect event with so many different layers. And I got competition. I got camaraderie. I got the feeling of this community that is working together towards a greater cause. And so that was kind of my experience there this last weekend.
And schedule permitting, an annual event for the Berghoff family from now on.
100%. I mean, I'm not going to miss it. You know, I really haven't. I fished a lot of really cool events over the years. You know, I fished Cup, fished title championships, TBF, All-American, Boat U.S. Championship, FLW College Championship, mm-hmm. all these different events. And, like, this one is one I want to hold on to and fish for many years to come and just be a part of, so I can, you know, do my best to help fundraise for an organization that obviously is very near and dear to our family. So
definitely. Okay. On the water, Bart was rather impressed. Now, don't go into too much detail because this thing's the first week of May every single year. Bart's already given me the don't give up the juice speech before this BTL episode. But we did see you on the water on day one, and he was highly impressed of how, where you ended up, where you were. Let's do a little bit of fishy aspect here. You had a half day of practice on a very dynamic body of water, pools 4 and 5, a lot of stuff going on that time of the year, the first week of May. Talk a little bit about kind of how you were able to dump your boat on and get on a 20+ pound bag of fish on that first day and compete against guys who know this section of the river like the back of their hand for the past two decades.
So one of the things I always do when I go to a new body of water is that I try to find areas that are kind of representative of, first I think about the seasonal pattern, right? And I knew that it was possible that they'd start moving onto the beds, but it would be around that spawning time period, whether it be like immediate pre-spawn or whatever. So I was looking on Google Earth, and the river is a lot harder to me to kind of dissect because it all kind of looks the same on Google Earth, but I always look for areas that are representative of the system as a whole, you know, that have a lot of different qualities to them that aren't just like, you know, an area that maybe has docks or area that just has, you know, some type of wood or whatever it is. It has everything, mm-hmm. you know, you got deep water, you got wood, you got all this different stuff. So that's kind of what I was looking for and ended up finding an area on Google Earth. In fact, Matt Steffen and I were, he was the only guy that I talked to, and he'd never fished up there, you know, before. So he had no idea, but we were kind of like looking at some stuff, and there's this one area that both of us were just like, yeah, that looks actually really good. Cause there's a lot of, you know, areas to get out of the current and stuff like that. So I ended up going there, and it was, you know, at first it was not, you know, looking all that great, but then as the sun got up, you know, the fish really started hitting the bank pretty hardcore. And we had like 100 fish, you know, marked on the bed. It was getting ridiculous. I stopped even marking waypoints, but it was exactly how it was, very textbook, you know, type of area. And mm-hmm. So we didn't, but the thing was they were so skittish during that day of practice that I was like, I don't even know if I can, you know, catch these fish or not, but we know that they live here. So that was kind of it. And then on the way back, we were going to try to go find something at pool 4 because we had that limited, you know, we had like 2 hours of fog in the morning, and we're just like, we need to find something on pool 4 just as a backup. And on my way up back towards Alma, the ramp, I was looking at my map real quick, zooming out, and I saw this other little area. I was like, that looks legit. And so, like, we went into this one slough, and it was the wrong way to go in that place.
There's like 8 wrong ways to take into that.
It was legitimately the wrong way to get into that backwater. But got in there, and we immediately started catching a bunch of fish off the sand drop, which was cool. I didn't expect to catch them on sand drops this time of year. Didn't play in the tournament, but we caught them there. And then I flipped up like a almost 5 pound smallmouth. And I was like, all right, we got a secondary area. So that was like a 30-minute little detour. And then we ran out of time. We got off the water at 1 because we had to get off the water at 3. And I'm like, we don't have time to walk through or put in another ramp or anything like that. So so that was the practice day. So we at least had 2 areas. Obviously, 2 areas is just not enough, especially when you're dealing with, you know, that first area seemed to be like kind of a community hole that we found out. Obviously, we saw you guys there, but it's you know, we kind of burned it down the first day, and the you know, after catching 20.5 pounds, the problem was that the largemouth, I could not get largemouth to bite on the bed to save my life, and I'm a fairly good sight fisherman. I can do that. It's not my favorite thing to do in tournaments, but I can do it. The smallmouth I could pick off, no problem. That's, you know, not a big surprise, but the largemouth were really, really skittish, which you see when they first sit on the beds in a lot of different lakes. So like Chickamauga, good luck catching those fish until that water gets to full pool and it's got a little bit of water over their heads. They get real skittish, and that's kind of what I saw. But I'm still proud of what I, you know, what Scott and I did in that, you know, little bit of time to go explore. Because the tricky thing about a river system, like especially that river system, is that you can't just wing it. You know, after you, if you have 2 areas, like you don't have a lot of time unless you already have a big bag. You can't like just go run in a creek somewhere, test it real quick, and then run out. Like the navigation is such a huge factor in time, you know, drain that, that, you know, you just, it's hard to kind of, we ended up fishing a little marina too, but really didn't, you know, see much size out of that thing, but that was pretty much it.
What do you think needs to happen in the fishing community to get this thing to a full field? It's 100 boats. It's been between that 75 and 90 boat range for it, but they do cap it. Sound like I'm from Minnesota. I've been spending too much time.
Yeah, you're back.
Oh, I'll take some cheese curds with that too.
Eating some beaver nuggets.
They do cap it at 100, but I mean, after you fish it, were you shocked that it wasn't at 100 with a 50 boat waiting list on it?
You know, I was, and my first, like, my first thought is we got to blow this up. We got to get as many people fishing this as possible. And then I talked to Ross Evans, and he was telling me that their permit is only for 100. So, but then, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? It's not really about how many boats we can get out there, right? It's about how many people we can get involved in the overall message. And the whole reason this tournament is being put on. So it's like, you don't want to muddy the water too much with the main focus being the tournament. You want the main focus to be, hey, there is a very, very special event going on that is raising a absolute ton of money that us fishermen, we can really bite into you know, the concept of helping children. And so I want to just, I think that we need to just spread the word of what they're doing to raise money for St. Jude, what this fishing community is doing, and just try to get as many people involved as far as donations and just kind of spreading the word of, you know, that there is this event, the Dick Hiley Bass Classic, raising this much money. And so I don't think that the key is getting more people to fish it, but more people to participate in the overall, you know, concept of what it's about, raising funds for this great cause.
That's well said.
I was going to say, Matt, like for Miles, this was your first year doing it. And like you have the fundraising minimums and stuff to get in. And I think that, you know, that's where it hasn't filled up every year, is people are scared of like, oh, how can I fundraise the money? I guess you have a unique situation, but can you speak on the fact of like, it's once you get rolling on the fundraising, it kind of just happens. And like just talking to people about how it's easy to fundraise for St. Jude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it truly is. I mean, I haven't met anybody that's not willing to. I think the biggest thing for people is, at least it was for me, I'm in the trenches right now at St. Jude. In fact, we've got people taking my daughter's labs outside right now as we speak. So it's like when you don't know enough about St. Jude's, everybody knows it's a great place, but they don't really know the scope of it. You know, it's hard to kind of like go all in, but you know, I think it's my job and our job collectively to spread that message and just let people know, like, this is not just a great organization. This is a like a whole other level of care that this place does. You know, I didn't even know that a place like this existed before having to come here for my daughter's treatment. You know, and everything that they do, I think it's just really important to, I do think it's really easy to get behind it once people understand what St. Jude's is all about. So it's not something, I mean, I only signed up 3 weeks before the event. We raised $6,700. You know, I think that what has happened to my daughter and our family has really opened the eyes, for our community, of the fishing community, as to what St. Jude does. And so I want to just leverage that as much as possible. But I think everybody's kind of starting to realize, hey, listen, you know, this is a cause we can get behind. And it really isn't that difficult to raise funds for it.
Well said. Well, I did get you a consolation present, Miles. Now I know how fond you are of the Bucky's pickled quail's eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I was at a different gas station, and I came across these. This was on my travels over the past 12 days. I found some Amish made jalapeno quail eggs.
I bet not from
Bucky's, but I got a couple cans of them, so I'm gonna crack those open today and let you know how they are, and then I got a jar for you too.
Was that at one of the 1,000 garage sales that they had this last weekend? Yeah.
No, did your girlfriend actually go garage sailing, Adam? I know that was like highlights.
They were gonna do it on Saturday, but it rained. Like, it was only supposed to rain for an hour or two on Saturday, and then it rained the whole freaking day. So they didn't end up going, but Miles, you were practicing over on the same side of the river as I was on Friday, right, when it was nice out. How long did it take you to get across the river and through Nelson?
Oh my,
I couldn't take left turn in Nelson for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately. So 10 minutes.
I think I know exactly what that T stop, that yes. T intersection there.
Right by the railroad track.
Oh my gosh, dude. In fact, I was about to just get out of the truck there at the stoplight or the stop sign and go to a garage. There was this table that had, there's this table that had pickled items of all kinds. And I was like, I think that now is the time to do it. And then a little bit of space opened up. So we ended up going, but I was like, Scott, what is going on down here? You guys are just, he's just like, we just, you know, after the winter time, we just have garage sales. You know, it's what we do up here. I've never seen so many garage sales in my life. It was hilarious. Just,
it's literally an annual event, and it's that weekend. And that's why the lodging is really always a little bit higher than it normally is. Dude, it's every year that weekend. So you drive around in Wisconsin, there's signs for hundreds of garage sales. And if it's nice out, I mean, we are talking traffic jams on county roads.
Do they have fishing stuff there though, Bart? Because I would imagine as many people fish up north like you could.
Yeah, I haven't been to any of them, but it's truly remarkable how many garage sales there actually are.
And it's not just Wisconsin. It's both sides of the river are just packed with garage sales. It's the gnarliest thing I've ever seen as far as like flea market garage sale type deal.
The most Wisconsin / Minnesota thing that happened the entire week for me is we're going past a dock and Bart gets snagged. and he's like messing with his line, and then it comes in and there's a lure attached to the end of his line.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most Minnesota thing ever. And it is a daredevil tied on straight braid with a Mr. Twister white curly grub hooked on the bottom of one of the treble hooks. I was like, dude, like you don't snag those in Oklahoma.
I'm surprised it wasn't a Phoebe. You know, those are pretty popular up there.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So, like I said, I know Riley's going through some tests at labs now. We had you on before the event started. Kind of gave an update about her and the family. Anything you want to mention on that, or just kind of status quo right now and trust in the process?
Yeah, she's doing really good. It was super nice getting back and seeing her today. You know, I'm trying to rush and have a little bit of a editing day, editing all the footage and putting it up on the YouTube channel. But she is doing great. We've got her next round of chemo starting at the end of the week. And she also, so this is the fifth cycle of chemo. And it's gotten harder and harder. So it's kind of like we're holding our breath but it always seems like she does have a few bad days while she's getting the chemo, and then she kind of just settles into it and recovers. You know, it's incredible how these babies can be so resilient. But we also, the big thing is we've got imaging coming up. We've got a biopsy coming up for, I believe, her spine, and we've got a PET scan and an MRI that we're going to be doing this week. So we have a little bit of scanxiety, as we call it here at St. Jude's. All the families have it, and so we're going to find out probably the early next week about the scans. I don't know when we'll get the results back from the biopsy, but as of right now, it looks like everything's good. Her numbers have been good, you know, from the labs. So that's good. We had to do one blood transfusion last week, and we almost had to do a platelet, transfusion, but we didn't have to end up doing that. So, it's all good. I'm trying to keep up with all the updates. I'm going to do probably a video or two update this week. But I also started this thing called Caring Bridge. I guess it's kind of like a blogging platform for, mm-hmm. you know, people with health issues or something like that. So started doing that, and I post the links whenever I update that on my Facebook and stuff like that. But we are.
And then did you record any of the tournament and that whole experience and stuff over on Sonar, Miles Berghoff Fishing over on YouTube? So if you guys want to get a behind the scenes look off the water, on the water, the whole nine yards, check out Miles's YouTube channel, as well as you do some family updates on there and things. It's been a weird transition on your YouTube channel, man.
Yeah, it really has. I've been doing a video a day, you know, and I've been very fortunate to be able to fish this private lake to do get as much content. And then of course this weekend we've got plenty of footage from the tournament. Not a lot of me landing fish, because most of the time, as you guys saw out there, I forgot my net. So I had to lay down on the back deck. I had to lay down on the back deck because I would get cramps every time. If I kneeled down and tried to catch those smallmouth, I'd get cramps and I'd have to launch my leg out to, you know, straighten it out. And it was pretty painful, but we got a ton of great footage, and it's going to be a chore just sifting through it,
The only question I had for you, I know, because Matt and I, middle of the day on day two, were having to make a decision, and I was debating locking down to five, which now I'm glad we didn't after seeing the bags. But I was debating locking down at about noon to go down, but I was scared of the barge that was coming up. Did you have to lock back early, or did you run into any barge?
No, that barge, what was the name of that barge? I forget what it was, but it was still at 5A, I believe.
It never even got out. I just saw it got into that lock.
Got, According to the FindShip app that has been pretty accurate for me, it never made it through. So it was not enough. It took less than 30 minutes for me to get through. It was a very easy locking process. But you probably made the right move not going back to that area you saw. You caught a bunch of fish. That was kind of burned down a little bit. I did catch one good smallmouth the final day, but it was an easy lock. It was actually the easiest, most stress-free locking experience I've ever had anywhere in the country.
They're really very good on easy. That lock.
All four times. Yeah, it was incredible. No hiccups whatsoever. I had to wait 5 minutes once for the doors to open. That was about it.
All right. Anything else before I let you go, Miles?
I just want to say thank you to, first off, I want to say congrats to you guys again. You guys did awesome. I'm honored to donate $250 due to our side pot to your fundraising efforts for next year. So that was pretty cool to see you guys win. Because I'd rather you guys win and take it all home and then I pay you the $250 than you just like beat me by like, you know, a couple ounces or something like that. That would have really irritated me, but to happen like that, it was great. But I do want to just say thank you to everybody at that event, you know, the people that put it on, Gretchen, Katie, everybody that.
One second. I wasn't going to bring her until after the break, but there's Gretchen right there. You can take her.
There she is.
How are you?
Doing good. You got a clean desk. Where's all the little
knick-knacks? This isn't my office. This is just the office I jump in for calls. This is not my space. It's not that clean over there.
But, okay. No, she's on top of it, right? Miles has a very well-run tournament. Very well-run.
Very well-run tournament.
The whole thing.
Well, yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. You guys are the best. We do it for you guys. We couldn't do it without you. You raised $852,000. Yeah. We want to make it the best for you guys. So,
yeah, it was absolutely outstanding. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that fished it, because that's a great group of anglers, great group of people that really welcomed me and a guy from the South, you know, with open arms. And so that was a very special experience for me to go from this, you know, being here in the trenches at St. Jude's in Memphis to finally getting to have a little bit of time with people, you know, and get to kind of take my mind off of things and talk fishing and just be around a great group of people. So it was pretty amazing. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for that.
Thanks, Miles. You got a lot of people following you, pulling for the family. So,
all right. Thanks, guys. Good to see you.
Better luck next year.
Bye.
dirty dog.
We'll see ya.
See you guys.
All right. We brought Gretchen in. We are going to take our first break of the show. When we come back, we'll talk with Gretchen just kind of about some of the details of the event, how things went down. And then Bart and I will get into the nitty gritty. We also did have two major tournaments that went on this past week, one being the BPT on Lake Eufaula that featured multiple tornado warnings, incredibly high rising muddy water, no surprise there, and Oklahoma local, long overdue for his first major win on the national scene. Zach Burge gets the W in the BPT on Lake Eufaula in Oklahoma. He will be our guest tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. regularly scheduled BTL. And then also another home lake victory, Josh Butler, 49 pounds, wins on Logan Martin. With the exception of Joey Nania, the spotted bass guys who you thought were going to catch him there absolutely dominated that event. Emil Wagner, who is the AFCO Bass Bootcamp representative for 2024, he had a top 10 on that. Tucker Smith, that's his home lake, he finished second for I think the third time in that event. We'll get back more to the on the water, the fishing stuff, chat with Zach Burge tomorrow at 8:30. But when we come back, Gretchen Simon from St. Jude, Adam Bartuzek from the Crappie Chronicles and my team partner in the Dick Hiley St. Jude Bass Classic. We will dive into that in the final segment of BTL on this Tuesday, May 7th. So we'll be back right after this.
Your early morning mentality is your every hour mentality. All gas, no breaks. Focus. purpose, power. Destined for the water, but confident everywhere else. A calming buzz before the storm, the truth of nature itself. You can't catch lightning in a bottle. There's a limit out there, but it's not with your gear. Unrelenting power delivery. Unparalleled weight savings. Keeping you on the water, whether you run a 9.9 or out scoping your best 5. In this rare air, there's power in the silence. It's a mindset, thinking only of the things that matter and freeing your mind from the things that you trust.
Get the best patterns backed by tournament data. Start by finding the best 10% of your lake. Know exactly what to look for and what to throw. After that, just put them in the boat. Try the Deep Dive app today.
Look at that beast right there.
The new Puma STS has been redesigned from the ground up. With the angler, design, function, and performance in mind, nothing on this new offering was compromised, and the only thing carried over from the previous version is the name. Based on the Soft Touch series hull that started with the flagship Jaguar, this new model is nimble and performs incredibly well at all speeds with either a 250 or 300 horsepower engine. Featuring a new 96-inch wide body footprint, this hull measures out at 20 foot 7 inches in length. Industry-leading design coupled with tournament-winning performance. The Puma STS from Basscat. Feel the rush.
Gamakatsu, the innovation leader in fish hooks, is launching Nano Alpha technology in 2024. Nano Alpha is a new finish available on Gamakatsu's most popular hook styles. It delivers 2 times slicker performance, 4 times better corrosion resistance. Nano Alpha technology makes the world's greatest fish hooks even better in 2024 to help anglers catch more fish.
Born in Japan, using technology, innovation, and precision, Sunline produces the widest selection of fishing lines at the most technologically advanced line factory in the world. Manufactured at the strictest tolerances to produce victories at the highest levels of tournament bass fishing. From household names like Christie, Swindle, and Cruz, to young guns like Cook, Logan, New, and Welcher, they all trust Sunline to take them to the top of the leaderboard. Choose the line that will give you the strength to guarantee your confidence. Sunline.
All right, welcome back. BTL on a Tuesday. I'm talking with Adam Bartuzek and Gretchen Simon about the recently completed Dick Hiley St. Jude Bass Classic 26th rendition of it that raised over $800,000. We've had Gretchen on BTL before. She did a lot of preparation for that appearance on BTL, asked a lot of questions about how it was going to go down and how long the episode was and what she wanted to talk about. So I texted her like 20 minutes ago and was like, hey, you want to jump on? And she's like, yeah, sure. So your podcast fears, you've apparently conquered them completely, Gretchen.
I wouldn't say completely conquered them, but I do better with less prep time to think about it. So here we are.
All right. So you're like 48 hours out from the 26th edition of this. Talk just real briefly about what you do and then some of the milestones that were hit this year and some of the accomplishments that were achieved with the ultimate goal of raising awareness and raising funding for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Yeah, I mean, 2 days post-tournament, I mean, I think we're still really trying to wrap our heads around Wabasha. I mean, all I have to say is, like, what a weekend, because it was just so cool. I think, like, obviously, you all winning, kudos to you, but having Miles there was really, really special. I know Matt Steffen was there, too, but, like, I think at the core of it, the group of anglers, what you all came together to do in 7 short months, is pretty remarkable. Going from last year raising $1 million, we still crushed 852,000, which is just a wild, wild number given the short turnaround that we had. So just major kudos to everybody who takes part in this tournament. It truly takes a village to bring it to life, and just all of the anglers. It wouldn't be possible without everybody. So
Adam, how long have you been ball? How many years have you fished this thing?
This is my fifth or sixth. It's third in a row with you, and then I fished a couple before.
Yeah, I think you're at five.
And then how many years have you been involved with it, Gretchen?
This is, I think, my sixth tournament leading it. But I've been at the tournament every year since I started at St. Jude 9 years ago. So.
Wow. And then how many of the guys have been at all 26 of them? I know we were talking about some of that at the banquet.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I would say there's probably 10 or 15 anglers who have been with us since the beginning. I mean, like, who have fished the first tournament, mm-hmm. seen it through every iteration. And those are the ones who have really sort of, you know, blazed the trail and got us to where we are today.
And then talk about how it's kind of set up, because there's Mike Otten is a familiar name in the fishing industry. A lot of people who are listening to this show know who he is, but there's a lot of input from anglers and from people who have been around for a long time in this neck of the woods that makes this thing run as smoothly as it does and provide some of the elements that it does. It's kind of unique to this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, so we work with a local committee here in Minnesota that, you know, they're all anglers who participate in this event. And then we work with the local Zumbro Valley Bassmasters, and they are really responsible for executing the tournament. I mean, they know the river, they know all the ins and outs, and they're the ones who really make the tournament work. It's not me. I don't pretend to know how to execute the tournament, I guess you could say, but I mean, they are so good at what they do. And this committee provides us with just the utmost guidance to make sure that this is the best experience overall for our anglers. The city of Wabasha is incredible. I mean, it's just the sum of a lot of people coming together to make a really, really special weekend, which I think is really what keeps people coming back.
And then key to this, I know there were, and I was super proud of this. We're sitting there on, I talked to someone on day one and day two that was like, hey, heard about this tournament on BTL. They're from the Ozark area, and they signed up and they came down and they fished the thing. And they were like, dude, yeah, we're definitely coming back next year. I know it was a little bit of a short notice this year, but it is always the first weekend in May. I believe 2nd through 4th, 2025 next week. If people who want to get involved, who want to get this on the schedule, who want to explore the possibility of fishing this, just where, when, how, what's the best way to get this thing dialed in? When does the fundraising start? That whole nine yards.
Yeah. So yes, always the first weekend of May. So we're looking at the 2nd through the 4th next year. We'll get registration going here probably late summer is usually when we do it. We're usually always launched by about October 1. But I would say don't let our registration date stop you from starting your fundraising. I was listening in earlier when you guys were talking about that. And yes, there is that fundraising minimum. But I think, Adam, you said it, that it is easier than you think. And I think the reality is like, that's part of what our committee does too, as well as my team, is we're here to help. So don't let that scare you. I would just want to tell people, don't let that scare you, because we'll help you get there. And I think the biggest thing is just taking the leap, because I think once you get there and see this tournament and realize that it's so much more than a tournament, and it is about St. Jude, and you guys love this so much, you're going to be happy you did it.
100% yeah. Agree.
No, I would piggyback on that and just saying, when I first was getting involved, the biggest thing was the fundraising goals. And I know Gretchen and I have had lengthy talks about that and how to handle that with payouts and everything going on. But what it really comes down to, talking to Miles about it and new people who are looking at fishing it is daunting to look at the fundraising tasks. But you realize it really isn't that hard. And also, like Gretchen said, they're very willing to help. They can point you in the right direction. If anyone's ever looking at fishing it and looking for ideas or just guidance or whatever, you can reach out to me or Matt. We can point you in the right direction, get you in touch with teams that have raised $80,000 or more. There's tons of ways to do it. Everybody does it a different way. And people are very willing to help out. So if that's what's holding you back is the fundraising, just sign up. You'll figure it out. I can promise you that.
Yeah. And I would just say too, I mean, you can look at the fundraising numbers, right? And you see our top teams raising 76, 61,000. don't let those numbers scare you, because everybody starts somewhere. And so, like, you don't have to do that your first year. Those guys really have it dialed in. They've been doing what they do for a very long time, and they do it really well. But it takes everybody. It's the $76,000 teams, but it's also the $2,500 teams and the $1,000 teams to get us to that final number. And so just don't be scared of that. Like Adam said, reach out to us. I think all of us here right now are happy to help in any way that we can.
Something I'm also proud about, a longtime sponsor of BTL is Pro Guide Batteries. I know that a lot of BTL listeners have supported Pro Guide by purchasing that battery over the last 3 years with some of the information that they provided on the show. And they stepped up this year as a sponsor of the event too, kind of hearing about it through their sponsorship with BTL. So really excited to have them on board this year, and hopefully going forward in future years as well.
Yeah, no, they've been incredible to work with. Thank you so much for making that connection. And we're excited to get them to the tournament next year. They were going to be there this year, but plans changed. But it sounds like they'll be there next year. And it's just, it's so exciting to see that people are still excited about this tournament, even 26 years later, since we started it. So it's really, really exciting.
All right, I have one more question for you, and then we'll let you go. And then Bart and I are going to talk a little fishing.
Okay.
I mean, you're welcome to stick around for that. We could add, I mean, you're welcome to add whatever you have to that. But so you jump in the river after every year of a successful event, because I have not seen you jump in the river yet, but I have seen the aftermath of when you've jumped in the river. Is that like your annual thing?
So it's not my annual thing, but I think it's become my annual thing. So this started many, many years ago. For whatever reason, the committee, like, they really enjoyed throwing St. Jude reps in the water, and it was always tied to like a fundraising milestone. And so 3 years ago, Katie, who you guys know very well, we were starting to build out a corporate strategy and some sponsorship stuff. She's like, if we can get a sponsor to commit at this level, I'll go in the river. And so the committee did it, and she went in the river. And so then I was like, well, I probably should put my money where my mouth is. And so our committee chair, Joe Holland, and I last year said, if we hit a million, we'll go in together. And we did it. And then I was like, well, what are we going to do this year? And so Corey Waller, he was like, if we hit 800,000, I'll go in with you. So I guess it's just become a thing. I've made a couple bets with a couple teams that want to raise 100 grand next year. They're like, if we hit 100 grand, we'll go in the river. And so I guess maybe it's becoming annual, but it's kind of refreshing after a long weekend. So
yeah. Very nice. Anything else that you want to make sure you get there? Anything else you want to add before we let Gretchen go, Adam?
No, I was just, yeah, thanks for running another great event. And just like we've said before, if any companies or people have interest in sponsoring the event, now is a great time to reach out to Gretchen and Katie and start talking about 2025. Because, yeah, the more sponsors, the more people getting involved, the better. It was great to see Yamaha's giant trailer there this year. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot more that can get involved.
All right. See you. Awesome. Have fun.
Thanks.
You can press. Bye, guys. Take a little bit of time off. Relax. Take a deep breath. Did a good job this year.
Hey, thanks so much. And congratulations again. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. See you, Gretchen. All right. That is Gretchen Simon, who kind of there's a whole team of people at St. Jude that make this thing happen on the week. But she's kind of the point person for this tournament, and has really, really done a good job of turning it into, but enhancing what it has always been, and helping it grow since she's come on board.
Yeah. Huge reason.
You can talk a little bit about the fishing. I know you got to be tight lipped, because that is a stretch of the river that you can't really, give the goods up on. Like, you've had a serious talk with me about, like, hey man, like, we can't be talking about how.
No, I mean, we can talk about a good bit of it. I mean, there's certain pieces that I feel like are kind of the secret sauce, but we can talk about a good amount of it. Like, the thing with this event that I think is so fun, and for people looking to, you know, do an event to start the year, I think the coolest thing is the timing of this event, is because every single day the fishing changes, and you're constantly just trying to stay ahead of the fish, whether they're coming from like winter into pre-spawn, or pre-spawn into spawn, or some years it's spawn into post-spawn. You're just constantly trying to stay ahead of them, because river fish move incredibly fast. Kind of like what Miles was saying, I just in practice was trying to stay ahead of fish. I was in that area he ended up fishing in on Thursday when it was pouring and there was only one fish in there. I fished the whole stretch he fished and there was one fish in there. And there was starting a couple more were starting to show up, but it was not quite there yet. But when I drove, I mean, Matt, when you and I ran down there, I told you I would not be surprised if there were hundreds. But just because of how much stuff was changing. And then we got down there and saw Miles there. And I was like, well, now it makes sense. Cause Miles said he found hundreds on pets. Mm-hmm. And that was like, this stretch is very good. So
it's crazy how fast it happens. How fast it happens. The transition happens on the river, whether it's to the beds, off of the beds, off to the pre-spawn stuff, off of the pre-spawn stuff. Like I was unaware. And after the last 3 years, twice fishing it in the spring and once in the fall, those fish, like when it's time for them to move or change, they move and change. And like if you're where they were and they're not, you're not catching them. And if you're where they're not, where they're supposed to be, you're not catching them. It's really, and this is what I've really learned to appreciate about the river rats, Corey, and you can name, you've named them all.
Yeah, Corey, Jimmy, me in the past. Yeah, Wyatt, those guys. Yeah,
ability to understand fish movements during transitional periods and show up when the fish show up and not before they show up or after they show up is insanely talented.
Yeah, it's ridiculously impressive. And I think that was, you know, it's been years for me of, and I am no river rat or river specialist or anything by any means, but it's been a lot of years of spending a lot of time there and just putting a lot of different puzzle pieces together. Because the water levels are always different. There's always different situations happening, but being able to kind of link them and then just try to get the day going. I think what helped us was I knew this year we would be able to get off to a decent start each day. So then we were able to kind of just make decisions based off of that. And I think like you saw is you can't, I don't think you can win that tournament on one spot. Yeah. You have to supplement it with a lot of different things. And this year, like, I mean, a lot of people think we won on all smallmouth. We weighed four largemouth. Two of them were big. Like you caught two big ones. One was like 3 3/4. One was about 4 pounds. And those were very key. Like we would not have won on all.
It's a 6 fish limit. We had a little over 40. We had almost 44 pounds or a little over 43 pounds. I don't know. What do we have? We had 43 something. We had 21.
It was right about 43.
21 and a half pounds a day. So we averaged 3.56 pounds of fish. So 3.5 pounder is what won it. What's crazy to me is how many 2 3/4 to 3.5 pounders are in that part of the river.
Yeah, we caught a lot. We did a lot of culling. A lot of culling just by a little bit here and there, and you kind of just work your way through it. And it's just a ton of decisions and making sure you're in the right place at the right time. And I feel like we did that. I mean, we had a lot of really good decisions. I think what ended up probably winning it for us was where we ended day one. And me seeing that all the pre-spawn fish I had up in that area had vanished. And I figured they would eventually. But seeing they vanished and I knew some had moved up in another area and going in there and really realizing, wow, they're like pulling up right now. And that was ultimate good, I think, scenario for us because we were finding them as the event was going on, whereas others were, you know, you're going to where you found them 2 3 days ago. Other people had found them. We found, you know, I knew they were moving up there. And
we didn't find, you found them.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the team tournament dynamic of this, because this was an interesting situation. I was in Alabama and I was fishing the Bassmaster Open. You practiced 4 days for this event. You had wind, you had rain, you had good weather. You knew it was a transition period. I literally came in and jumped in the boat. So I had told you on the first morning, I was like, dude, I'm going to do everything that I can to catch them. But I didn't have any part or much part in the practicing process of it. But then I thought, like, it was an interesting team dynamic because I felt super comfortable in the boat and really quickly understood what was going on once we caught like one fish.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, yeah, it was a long practice period. Cause basically all I was doing the whole time was making sure, I mean, I went full out gamble on what was going to happen happened.
Mm-hmm.
If that wouldn't have happened, we were really, really in trouble. We would be hurting big time. But I was very confident it was. So I just constantly was looking for something else that I felt like might be able to compete with, you know, fish moving up. And I never found anything. And with how much the water was, I mean, dude, when you got there by the end of it, the water was almost at like action stage. So getting close to flood stage. When I started, the water was two to two and a half feet lower.
Yeah.
And by when we finished the tournament. So I'm just trying to keep up with fish and see what they're doing, and water temps are going up 7 degrees, down 5 degrees, doing a lot of different things. So yeah, the team aspect was then just more of, I think it, you know, obviously we never threw the same thing, which I mm-hmm. thought was very important.
I looked at it. We caught our 12 fish on 5 different baits.
Yeah. We were never throwing the same thing. We were constantly testing everything. And that's important because those fish, like, we were not on any spots that other people hadn't found. We just fished through them, I think, better than other people. We had some key fish that other people didn't find, but like the bulk of what we were doing, was nothing crazy hidden or secretive or anything. We were just working through areas and being, very thorough, I would say, was the biggest thing.
Very cool. What would you have to say to people considering fishing this event next year as far as what to do now and kind of going forward?
I mean, I just think everybody needs to do it once in their life. I think it's one of those events. It's going to keep getting bigger. You know, now I feel like, Matt, you've done a great job with the publicity for this. And there's so many more people that are doing a lot for this event. And it's just going to keep growing. And it's just a very unique event, unique time of year. And for, you know, people who are maybe scared of the river, I've heard you say it before, Matt, but like, if you want to come fish it and experience the event, you can take a left out of the ramp, run up to Pepin.
I was on Luke Duncan last night. He had me on and I said, dude, you can just take a straight shot and go fish a lake and have a chance at winning.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't, you know, so it gets won all.
We fished the lake this year.
Yeah, we did. We weighed in a few key fish out of the lake.
Yeah, we did.
We did. We probably fished 35 to 40 miles of river, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it can be won anywhere.
Lake spots. Caught fish in all of them.
So if you want to take a left and run up to the lake and you can be pretty safe and do a bunch of things that you're comfortable with, you can.
Or I mean, we also caught fish out of stuff where I was like, God, I hope we don't take a left here. And then we took a left and then I'd be like, okay, we're still alive. I hope we don't take this next left. And then we take the next left. And then you'd look over and be like, this is where it gets sketchy. And I'd be like, what is the last 4 turns?
Yeah. 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 No, we had a couple runs that I was like, yeah, just hang on. We'll get there. I mean, it was way sketchier in practice when we were running through there in the tournament. I even missed my trails a hair, but I was like, it's a foot higher now. We'll be fine.
It is
like Corey, Hauk always tells me, you only have to miss it by a quarter inch.
There you go. All right, Bart. I did mention, I talked with Luke last night about this on his show tonight, 7 PM Central Time, Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday the 7th, we'll be on with Bailey and the boys over at Sirius Angler, talking all things St. Jude and river fishing. And other than that, you can follow Bart. You guys, I have Bart on quite a bit too, but still worth it. Your Crappie Chronicles series, is it the number one ice fishing series on YouTube?
I don't know if it's that. I mean, it's up there.
Like strictly ice fishing, like Jay Siemens and all the other guys like do like some freshwater stuff too. Yeah, but you're
in terms of a series, maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's the only ice fishing thing I do now. Yeah, it's been crazy how far that's come in the last 4 years. So yeah.
You ever need another partner in any of these other tournaments just to catch them? I'm good at catching them.
Yeah, yeah, no. So I would also like to say, Matt, for the people who who've said about Dinkin' and Dunkin' and Spinning Rod and Drop Shot, and that one thing we can say is that tournament was 100% won on a spinning rod. Well, yeah, with a couple key fish on a bait caster, but there was a lot of work done on a spinning rod in that tournament.
I enjoyed it. It was my cup of tea. So, all right, Bart, I'm going to let you go. I'll see you tonight over on the Serious Angler stuff. Check out Bart on YouTube, the Crappie Chronicles series, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yeah, man. Just kicking off the tournament season up north. Pumped about it. Good way to start the year. We'll just keep it rolling now.
I still don't know how you drink all that heavy Minnesota beer. Like, every time, like when we celebrate it or like when we have it, like you're like big on the craft stuff. I can't handle that stuff, man.
I'm slowly running out though, man. I can't keep up anymore. I turned 30 and I'm getting old.
Is it really? You starting to actually feel it a little bit?
I can't do it as much anymore. So, and I'm just being a little bit more responsible now that it's like tournament fishing's turning a little bit more into a job, I guess, with fishing some bigger events like that invitation.
It's easy to say that now when you've done 35K in your last two. I used to say that too. I've said that a couple times, but then, yeah, you know, you go three or four where you donate and you're like, yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. But It's been a good start to the year. I'm hoping to keep that rolling.
Nice. All right, Bart, I'll talk to you later tonight.
Yeah, for sure. See ya.
Whoa, I didn't mean to kick you out there. I meant to say new studio looks good. I know you're in a new house. You're getting that thing dialed in.
Yeah, if you've heard any of the vibrating or anything going on, our front road is getting tore up like as we speak. And right now I'm pretty sure I got something going on because my house keeps shaking.
Also, if you guys are looking for another interesting podcast to listen to and follow, if you drive a lot and cover it, Bart does Pass the Barb with a couple of other Northern boys.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely. I mean, in terms of educational, maybe it's much more entertaining, more PG-13. Definitely not cutting certain things out. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, more kind of like a Barstool podcast, I'd say. And we have a good time, talk about everything that's going on in the fishing world. It's me, Sobe, Ryan Pinkala, Cody Honor, who used to be an FLW Tour pro, and then our buddy Will Stolsky, who guides trout and salmon basically all over the world now. He just got back from Patagonia. So we have a lot of fun.
Phenomenal. Thanks, Bart.
All right. See you, buddy.
See ya. All right. That is Adam Bartuzek. I literally just walked in the house from a week and a half at 11 o'clock and did the Open Pros Pick'em with Andrew Upshaw. That's going to be an interesting one with Andrew, Todd, and Ish talking about the Elite Series going on at Lake Murray. Things got a little heated, so stay tuned to Andrew Upshaw Fishing for that release today. He'll drop that on the 7th. And then jumped on BTL right after. So I'm going to get my my wits about me, update the website. Zach Burge tomorrow talking about his big BPT win, back live on Thursday with the man, the myth, and the legend, Frank Scalish. You guys are animals. You sold out the 600 Signature Series lure net, individually numbered Frank Scalish baits in like 12 hours. It was good stuff. So that's all we got for today. BTL back in studio. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Later.